From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. Today, another round of rocky spring weather and a 7-year-old whose obsession is not Legos, it's opera. We'll start with the decision this afternoon that gives Virgin American 2 gates at Dallas Love Field. Dallas City Manager A.C. Gonzalez issued the decision after a drawn-out public debate. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports Virgin beat out Dallas-based Southwest Airlines for the 2 gates American Airlines was ordered to give up.
If you want to know what Virgin's most powerful voice had to say, just check out Richard Branson's latest photo on Twitter. His face and even the collar of his white shirt are smothered with red lipstick kisses. He's grinning and giving the thumbs up. Analyst Tom Parsons says flyers in Dallas can be happy too.
They do bring a new element in town. They do offer 3 classes of service. They bring you also some of the lowest fares. If it wasn't for Virgin, we would not be seeing the airfares we're seeing today, the Los Angeles or San Francisco.
Virgin wins this battle, but the real war starts October 13th, when the Wright Amendment restrictions are lifted and Virgin, Southwest, and United can fly anywhere nonstop from Love Field. Parsons says Richard Branson may be what he calls a hot dog, but Virgin has a major recognition problem. It's 3 letters, D-A-L.
Not very many people in this country know Love Field or the airport code DAL, D-A-L. And again, if you live in San Francisco, New York, or Washington, D.C., you put the name Dallas in there and you're going to hope, Virgin's going to hope that you see their roots. But you may never see their routes or flights because if you don't use the right airport code, Virgin may not get those passengers.
Virgin has already started selling seats for its new routes. So for now, at least, it's feeling the love. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Today was a tough one for Dallas businessman and philanthropist Sam Wiley. A New York jury decided that he and his late brother Charles committed civil fraud. The jury said they created $500 million scheme to hide stock sales in a web of offshore trusts. It was a victory for the Securities and Exchange Commission, which had lost another big insider trading trial last fall against Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Ralph Nader has made a career of targeting billionaire businessmen. Today on Think, he talked to Chris Boyd about what he sees as a burgeoning alliance between the two ends of the political spectrum. Think producer Stephen Becker has this recap.
Nader says there are 4 steps to forming a left-right alliance. The first is maybe the most challenging, finding common ground. He says issues that show strong support in polls are a good place to start.
It could be on a local issue, state issue, national issue.
Next up, draw attention to the cause.
It could be an open letter to the legislature. It could be a march, a petition, a demand to meet the legislators in town meetings when they come back home.
Once the issue gains a little momentum, you're on to step 3, which requires a bigger megaphone. Enter the media.
The media is a bit bemused by, unlikely bedfellows or whatever way they often open up their articles. So it's not bad for the media. The media likes those kinds of counterintuitive alliances.
And Nader says it's tough for politicians to ignore headlines.
And once it gets on the table, it's off to the races. Because once the people who are running for president or senator or representative or state legislature or city council, once they start talking about it, then it's not going to be stoppable.
Nader writes about the process in his new book, Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
Think re-airs tonight at 9 or find the podcast at kera.org/think. While his peers lose themselves in the world of Legos, Dallas second grader Will Moore has a different obsession. KERA's Ann Bothwell had a chance to chat with his pint-sized superfan of opera.
I brought my iPod because I have an opera app on here. It's one called Master Opera. It has some things about some opera composers, and it also has a lot of music.
7-year-old Will Moore is showing me a few of his favorite things. Will likes opera a lot. He saw his first opera at 5.
Okay, let me take a little bookmark out.
After he's seen an opera, Will sometimes likes to read the summary of it in the Grove Book of Opera.
But if it's something I haven't seen, I don't do it because I want to surprise myself.
And he's a fan of all kinds of classical music. He shows off last year's Christmas present.
It's a CD of all the music that Fritz Wengler conducted, and there are 100 discs in this. I mean, 107.
Will loves attending live performances. He even begs his parents, Jeffrey Moore and Susan Moore, to take him out of town to see them. He watches on DVDs at home, and he's a regular at the MetLife broadcasts in local movie theaters.
If you want to know what a few of my three favorite operas are, Le Troyen, Carmen, and Francesca da Rimini.
He's pretty straightforward about why.
I really like the music and the singing. I don't know exactly why, but the music kind of makes me feel happy.
He's also got a little obsession with Wagner's Ring Cycle.
I saw the old Met Ring and the new Met Ring, and also the one in Seattle. But I only saw the one in Seattle live.
That's right. After watching the Ring Cycle on DVD, he asked his parents to take him to the Seattle Opera for his birthday. And they did.
I sat through all four, and there was only one time in the whole thing that I fell asleep. I fell asleep at the end of Siegfried.
Clearly, his parents, who are divorced, support Will's passion. They both love music, too. In fact, Jeffrey Moore used to work in the education department at the Dallas Opera. These days, he lives in University Park, and he's pursuing a PhD in theology at SMU. Susan Moore lives in Lakewood, and she works for a financial consulting firm. They both encourage all of Will's interests, and he has a lot of them. He likes to read, he plays piano, and he loves Disney movies. He likes other music, like jazz, and there's one particular traditional song that's a favorite.
I don't really like the words to, but I really like the tune to, and I don't know why, but that is The Bear Went Over the Mountain.
But opera is his true love. His parents don't push it. Will is clearly the one begging, sometimes nagging, to go. Even with supportive parents, though, it's not always easy being an opera fan in first grade. He's tried to convert a few friends, but
that hasn't worked very well.
Oh, dear. What happened?
Well, they tried listening to some of that, and then they were like, I totally don't like this. Why did you ask me? And I'm like, hey, I just thought you might like it if you listened to it.
But he perseveres. He's thinking about being a doctor when he grows up. No matter what he does, he's pretty sure he'll find a place for music in his life.
Because I like opera so much, I just feel like I'll never really stop liking it.
Anne Bothwell, KERA News.